Well, today our lesson starts into a new section, and it's in the book of Judges, and the judges are going to take up the next six lessons that we look at. And one of the challenges that the commentary puts out is that the church, well, the belief, what happens in the second and third generation from the initiation of a church, or in this case, the initiation of Israel, bringing Israel into the promised land. And under Joshua, there were wonders and miracles and taking of the land and Jericho and all the great battles and things that happened. And then the next generation was left with the understanding that they were to continue the work and driving out the rest of the enemy that was there. Well, what happened was the rest of the enemy wasn't as easy to move, and the people who were there didn't really see the hand of God working in their lives and in their lives as a nation. So they became complacent. They became complacent in how that they requested, or what, you know, they just left them there. What harm can it do? You know, what harm can it do to, you know, let us, that we live in the land with these people? You know, we lived in the land of Egypt with these gods, and, you know, we've heard about that, this generation. So they just kind of left their relationship with God, we would say. They left their religion, and they had a religion, but it was no better than the religions of the foreigners, and it ended up being a stumbling block for them later on. So whenever you look at the nation of Israel and how that they lost out in their relationship with God, and how they lost out in staying close to God, is what people say can happen with the church. That the church can lose its impact, lose its fervency for God whenever it becomes tradition, when it becomes routine, whenever the faith that we believe in just becomes something that is a set of rules that we obey, and, you know, it doesn't really matter if you obey them, you know, lived hand in hand with the world, and, you know, everything is wonderful. And well, anyhow, that's what happens whenever people lose out in their relationship with God. Well, this is what happened with Israel, and this is what we pray in our own lives, that we never lose sight of who God is and what He can do in our, what He has done, and what He is willing to do in our lives. And it often comes in a distancing from the church, distancing from a relationship with Christ. And whenever you have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof, the scripture is talking about how that we can live to a certain standard but not really understand why. Not really understand how that God is at work in our lives to keep us and to direct us through these difficulties. So that's kind of the idea behind studying the book of Judges, is that we understand and see how this happened to Israel, but also now we can understand how that it can happen in the modern day churches. And, back when Wesley started the Methodist, and, you know, the churches, the great revival, well, we know that after a few generations, they all went their own way. And it kind of happened with Martin Luther, kind of happened with the Methodist, it happened with, you know, just, so the idea is that we don't allow the fervency that the way that we live for God is how that we depend on Him for His help and for His assistance. That's why we study the scripture, and that's why we pray. So if the church is going to have a positive effect upon society and reach the lost for Christ, it must gain a firm grasp on the calling that God has of it for His people. So we have to understand that we are called by God, first and foremost. God is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. So it is the will of God that every person be saved. Now, we don't believe in universalism, which means everybody's saved. We believe that God has called everyone to be saved, but that there are not that many that heed the call. And God has given to every person a measure of faith. okay? And whenever you encounter someone who doesn't believe, they're saying, I don't believe in that stuff. They have taken their measure of faith and taken it in the wrong direction. So God has given us a measure of faith, and he wants us to understand his word and allow the word of God to influence our thoughts and take the belief that we have and go in this direction with the scriptures. How that God is able to do the miraculous, how that God is able to multiply the 5 loaves and, you know, 2 fish, how that God is able to open the doors or close the doors, that we're believing that God is in charge of our life, and with that being in charge, then we recognize that God is helping us with each day. So it's this understanding of how we take our belief that God has given to us, whether, and if we have enough belief to ask, we have enough belief to receive. Now, we don't want to say, well, you know, God, I'm no good, I'm a worthless person, and I'm, you know, this whatever, and I failed. And, you know, God doesn't need to be reminded of our failures. He wants us to be reminded of who we are in him. Remember our obligation? What is the one obligation? I know there's more, but what is the one obligation that God expects of us? He expects us to recognize that we are his child. And as that child, we have privileges. We have privileges as a child of God. So as a child of God who has the ability to ask and an understanding to ask, we are to make our prayer, make our request. This King James says, make your request made known unto God. So let your request be known. Speak it, say it, declare it to God. And this is my request, this is my belief, and this is my understanding, and God, I'm believing for you to do this work. End of story. Doesn't have to be, I'm no good. You know, you did this for somebody else, but you probably won't do it for me. You know, it's like the trying to play the victim mentality with God, you know. We're not victims, we're more than conquerors. And victim mentality doesn't move the hand of God. And God isn't moved by the need, okay? God isn't moved by the need. Many say, well, I don't really, you know, my need is so great, God will surely meet it. No. My faith is that God, you will meet my need. See, so it isn't that my faith is declaring that God is capable of meeting the need. And that we are saying to God that, God, I believe that your word says that you shall supply all my needs according to your riches and glory. So the abundance of heaven, God, I believe to come into my own life. You know, so that's taking the abundance of heaven and applying it to the need. What people sometimes do is that look at the need, you know, look at the homeless person. Yeah, you know, look at the, you know, the people that are addicted and, you know, to different things. And their addiction, they have great need, but their faith has been destroyed because they were perhaps believing in the wrong thing. They didn't believe in God. So to those who believe, the Bible says you've never seen his children out begging bread. So what God is saying to us, if we believe and we ask, he's going to provide. Like the woman with the cruse of oil, you know, she just has a little bit left, and prophet says, give, you know, use that to feed me. And she says, but it's all I got. And he said, don't worry, use it. Well, then he told her to go get all the pots you can measure up and bring them into your house. See, that occasion is pretty interesting. I know, I'll get to the lesson. This is part of the lesson. But the cruse of oil was that prophet said to her, go and get the amount of jars, all the jars you can get, and bring them into your house. So the understanding that we have there is not only that God was going to multiply this little jar of oil and it would never run dry, it was how big was her faith, and that determined how many jars she got, and that determined how much the provision was from God. So What is, in some sense, the provision that God gives to us is, how many jars do you have? How many jars would you go out and get? God said to you, now the prophet, the word comes and says, okay, this is where you're at. You're in a very difficult place. So go get the jars that you want, and we'll see what happens. Well, I'm not going to carry all them jars. I'm not going to fill my house with a bunch of empty jars. I got all the empty jars I need. But you see, the faith dictates that I will get, you know, how much faith do I have determines the amount of jars that I get that ends up being the amount of blessing that is received into my life. It isn't that the wells of God are so deep. It's that the vessel, the bucket that we draw with is too small. So that's why we take our faith and look at the need, look at the situation. God, you said you would supply all my need. So therefore, I believe that you're going to do this. And I pray that you will give an abundance of that. I pray that you will meet that need. You know, it seems like our, in all appearances, our house is sold. And we moved the closing date up till the 23rd, I think. No, 20, that's somewhere at the end of the month. So within the end of the month, we'll be moving. And whenever I went into the office to sign for taking on the townhome, I told the guy, he's used to people coming in and saying, well, we got to sell our house to do this. And I said, well, I want you to know, we have to have this in place because I believe that our home is going to move very quickly. Now, I'm sure everybody says that, but 4 days was pretty good. So 4 days we had a buyer, and that has moved through to he wants to move it up a few days. So it's never over till it's over, but all indications are that it's moving in that direction, and in 3 weeks it'll be gone. So the understanding that we have is that God is capable, and sometimes God gives us insight into these things, and then we are called to respond to it. Can we say it and can we declare it without looking like a fool? See? Might be a fool. But you know what? It's better to speak faith than, oh, well, I don't think it'll ever go. You know? God knows how bad off I'll be if this doesn't happen, you know? They don't whine. He's not into whining. You know? So anyhow, how much faith do we have? Well, in here, in the lesson, the children of Israel were to drive out the enemy, okay? They were to drive out the enemy from their land. Most of them, all of the major strongholds of the enemy have been destroyed. So what's left are the small communities. Now, here's another one. When the Bible says that you will live in houses that you didn't build and reap crops from where you didn't sow, it means that you're going to go in and take somebody, you're going to go in and be the recipient of somebody's house. Not you're going to kill the people and drive them out. No, they're going to abandon what it is, and you're going to inherit this. So here are these people who are desert people who have no understanding of houses that belong to them, and they go into these countries, into the land of Israel, and the reason God was pushing out the Amalekites, parasites, the Jebusites, the Hivites, why he's moving them all out, that was a joke, parasites. Okay, God was moving them out because when Abraham came to the land, and God says, this is your land, but I'm not giving it to you yet because their sin, their iniquity is not yet full. So God could have driven them out of the land right then and there, but their iniquity was not full, meaning that they haven't reached the point of no return. By the time that Joshua shows up, these people and their sinning and their way of life was beyond what they were willing to turn back from. Okay, when Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed, that the angel went in there with, Abraham prayed, God, if there's just but five righteous people, there weren't even five people that were willing to give up their lives to Christ, to God, and so the place was destroyed. They would not respond to the message of God. See? So when people will not respond to the message of God, it isn't that God has lost his grace for them, but that they have gone to a place where life is over for them spiritually. So, and we don't, we cannot say, well, they've reached that point. We can't say that. God can still, you know, God was the only one who can reach that point in people's lives. So, the lesson then is about the judges. Now, what happened in the book of Judges is that the people were to follow God. And there was no national religion. There was the institution of the sacrificial system was in place, and the animals were sacrificed. The priests were in place to offer the sacrifices for the people. But the people didn't really engage in this relationship with God. They didn't engage in their faith. And so they would, you know, what's the use of going to the temple today? What's the use of observing the holidays? It absolutely means nothing. And here are my neighbors. They pray to these gods, and they seem to be doing okay. Why do we need to go clear to Jerusalem? Or why do we need to go clear to the temple? We can just go up on the hill here to these pagan gods, and we can pray to them just as easy as we can the one in Jerusalem and the one of Abraham and Isaac. So we can just do, you know. So it's kind of like the mood today. It doesn't really matter what religion you have, just so you have one. Not true. There is only one. And the judges then came to the nation of Israel and said, you can't do this. You can't just go up there on the hill and pray to those pagan gods, because the God Jehovah is God of all. These are just statues, and these are just, you know, pieces of wood that the people have made up and made gods out of, and they're nothing. So the judges came and said, okay, if you're going to pray to them, God's going to bring judgment, judges. God is going to bring judgment upon you as a nation and upon you as a people. And when God, you know, it says in here that that God became angry with them. And sometimes, when one guy said, if you can figure out God, your God isn't big enough. You know, if you can figure God out, you really don't have a good understanding of God, okay? So anger. Anger is one of those, our emotions that we put on God. That, now, anger is a correct word in the sense that anger, pain, and fear is a tripod that always travel together. When people are angry, they're almost always hurting, and they're almost always afraid. Now, it isn't 33, 33, 33, but they go together, anger, pain, and fear. Now, when God is angry, He's hurting, but He's not fearful. Okay? The hurt that God has is the hurt that His people are going to harm themselves. And they're going to lose out with their relationship and the blessings that they could have. So God punishes the people of Israel by removing His protection from them and letting them do as they please, and then the enemy comes in and wipes them out. And so when they're under persecution and when they're under all these problems, and you know, then they start calling out to God, and what does God do? He answers them. He brings somebody in to lead the nation, to lead the army, and gives them insight into battles and strategic planning and how that these non-military people can lay a trap for the enemy and destroy the enemy, and God is good and He's wonderful, and we move back into our houses and everything's good. And so what do? We just go back up on the hill and worship them gods that we did before. So that's what the book of Judges, you know, is doing here. So in Judges chapter 2, verse 4 and 5, it says, wherefore I also said, I will not drive them out from before you, but they shall be thorns in your sides, and their God shall be a snare unto you. The judge here is telling them, you have not driven out your enemies, and you have not left their gods. You've not allowed their gods to be destroyed. So, let's see what happens. We see, whenever it's like in our Christian life, when we allow something that we know not to be there and we still do, it becomes a snare to us. Just like the people that they allowed to live in their land and allowed their gods to be in their land, well, these people and their gods became a snare that trapped them and snared them. And God was saying, you've got to drive them out so that you don't become ensnared by it. So that happens in our life that we need to overcome. What else? After Joshua died, the Israelites began to drift away from the Lord and forget their covenant obligations. Thus, the book of Judges narrates Israel's downward spiral from victory to defeat, from unity to fragmentation, from faithfulness to idolatry. Judges concludes on a tragic note. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. So, there, you know, when people start putting together religions and, you know, doing what is right in their own eyes, it ends up failing. I remember my aunt and uncle, they moved out to Arizona, and they were not very religious. They were involved in a religion. And they went to, one of them went to college, took classes in religion, and they put together their own religion, you know, some of this and some of that and this one and that one, and pulled them all together. And it was difficult because, you know, they didn't believe in Jesus. But whenever it came time for them to die, they were drawn back to their faith. And that's whenever they called me. You know, can you help my dad or my husband, can my aunt, my, you know, can you help them? And so I would talk to them, and we would talk about forgiveness and getting back to a right relationship with God. And so people's religion is sometimes people's religion gets in the way of their relationship with God. And that we're doing all this stuff and the religion doesn't work, so, you know, God's obligated. God, I don't understand why bad things happen to me, why this happened to me, I wasn't doing anything bad. Well, it has nothing to do whether you were doing anything bad. It has to do with the relationship that we have with God. And the relationship that we have with God determines that God is going to be faithful to his word in our life, and sometimes going through the trials is part of the answer to the prayer that we really need. Like Joseph, the dream, knowing that he was going to be, you know, all of his family is going to bow down to him. It never said in there, you're going to be sold as a slave. You're going to be, you know, lied to and betrayed. You're going to be thrown in a prison. And, you know, all this stuff is going to have. God left out that part. But went from here to here. You know, here you are, this favored son, and someday all these people are going to bow down to you. Wow, yes. Well, how do I get there? You got to go through this trial and that trial and be faithful in the whole series of things. So, and the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, this is verse 7, and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died being 110 years old. You know, Joshua is the only man who didn't have a mother. He's the son of Nun. That's an old one. I couldn't pass it up, so. And verse 10, and also all the generations were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. So, we have here in this, I want to read this part, and it's this neat paragraph, it kind of puts it in perspective. Just as the book of Joshua concludes with two versions of Joshua's final speech. One version focused on Israel's battles and the other on Israel's worship. So, two conclusions. Book of Judges begins with two versions. What happened after Joshua died, Judges 1 tells us about the battles that ensued after Joshua's death and failure of Israel to drive out the Canaanites. Chapter 2 covers the same time period from a different perspective, while chapter 1 focused on Israel's battles, which they didn't lose, which they didn't win, and focused on Israel's worship. And at the same time Israel had begun to disobey the Lord in battle, they also began to drift away from the Lord in their worship. So which came first, the losing of the battles or the losing of worship? And the idea is that they lost their worship and they lost their battles. So we need to keep that in focus. And again, the book of Judges is saying, okay, people, let's keep our relationship with God in place. Let's continue not only to honor him, you know, just like being here today. This is something that we come here, we receive faith, and we understand the word of God. We make applications of the scripture to our life. Our life changes. Our life changes because we hear the word. Now, what about those who don't show up? What do they hear? They go to their own thinking, their own logic, their own understanding, and what is their understanding of God? And how do they get there? How do people arrive at their understanding of God? Generally, we make God after our own image, after our likeness, and perhaps after our earthly father. Now, some good fathers and some not good fathers, but they gave the best they could, and so our understanding isn't to come from our own understanding of ourselves and the fatherly figure. Our understanding is to come from who God says he is and what God has declared him to be, and our understanding needs to be after his likeness. His likeness has to be in our lives and his pattern after our pattern. So, you know, we have a great deal to go towards. Any questions? I'm sorry, I keep talking. It's time to quit. You got any questions? I'm not done yet, but I thought that. Any thoughts? Well, in chapter 2, verse 11, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam, and they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods, of the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger. Meaning that God says, okay, you're going to pray to them, let them take care of you. And they couldn't. And Israel was God's covenant people. And the understanding here is God made a covenant with Abraham that these were always going to be his people. And no matter what happens to his people, God was going to honor that covenant. Now, there was always talk years ago about the unpardonable sin. Some people say, well, I committed the unpardonable sin, and I'm doomed to hell. Well, you're not dead yet, so you didn't commit the unpardonable sin. The unpardonable sin is dying without faith. Dying without faith in Christ and forgiveness. That's unpardonable because you don't have it. You rejected it. If you want to, sometimes when I'm with patients, you know, in hospice and things, and when they're dying, and it's always interesting to pray forgiveness and the blood of Christ upon people's lives. And there are some people that have faith and believe in Christ, and how that, you know, they're very peaceable with that. But some, they become agitated, even whenever they're in a state of that they can't open their eyes, that just mentioning the blood of Jesus Christ, I don't go in there and provoke people and, you know, shake the bed and, you know, but you just pray that the blood of Christ would be with them for forgiveness. And it's my prayer to God to save this person. And there is a response. And there, you know, they don't respond to anything else, but there is a response to what the blood of Jesus Christ and how that has an effect upon the spiritual battles that are going on around them. And as believers, then we represent Christ and we bring Christ to the situation. And if people don't want it, that's fine, they can reject it. And if people do want it, well, it's there for them to be receptive of it. So you're not pushing something on someone. You're just praying and seeing what happens. And it's interesting how that God is able to move into people's lives or move in individuals' lives in a very difficult time. So who knows what God is doing in our lives at very difficult places. Nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges, verse 16, which delivered them from the hand of all those that spoiled them. So the judges came to have the people return to God and return to worship. And the judges were there to help them. So in our lives, we are just there to help people. If we have lost our sense of being able to help, then we've lost what we're here for. Because the body of Jesus Christ is to help one another, is to care for one another. So, but the judges came at this time then to bring people back to that place of serving God. Verse 17, and yet they would not hearken to their judges, but went through the whoring after other gods and bowed themselves unto them. They turned quickly out of the way which their fathers walked in, obeying the commandments of the Lord. But they did not so. So the judges came, they were stubborn, they wouldn't repent, they wouldn't change their ways, and so it ended up that the anger of the Lord was hot against them, and God says, okay, take my hand, take my protection away, and there you are with your gods, go knock yourself out, and you can't defeat anybody. And in our lives, it's the same principle. If we don't have God, we can't be victorious in our lives. And also verse 21, I will not henceforth drive out any from before them of the nations which Joshua left when he died. So the people who were there, they left there. And Joshua gave them the command, drive them out, finish the work. And they didn't do it. And these people became the snare for them in their lives. So that's the beginning of the book of Judges, and next week we do the first judges, and Deborah is one of them. So Othniel, Ehud, and Deborah. So we see how that, conclude here, we see how that the presence of God is there to help and to lead us. The anger of God is that he would remove his protection from us. But see, going through trials doesn't mean that God has removed his protection. Because we have faith and we understand, and God, you said, so we have a different perspective of the trials that we face. We have if we don't have faith and we don't have an understanding when we hit those trials, we think, oh, God has abandoned us. It's not true. God is there to help us in every situation. And if we believe that, see, our belief, I don't believe God can help me. Okay, that's your belief. I believe that God will help me to see me through this. That's your belief. So the trial then is only to aid our belief and help us in our walk with him. Amen? So that's the beginning of the book of Judges. Yes. Right. Right. Yeah, trials are only there to help us because we can't do it on our own. If we could do everything on our own, you know, we wouldn't need God. So the difficulties and the idea is that we don't need to wait to find that we can't do it on our own. We just begin by knowing and asking God to help us each day and through each trial and each situation. God, you've got to help me, you know. And our logic, our understanding, our science, our doctors, I mean, everybody has an opinion. But the knowledge of what moves us is our faith in God. We believe that God will help us. You know, I believe that God will help me. And that belief will move me in a particular direction. So when I pray with people, I believe that God will help them. So if they're going to eternity, I believe that God will help them. You know, God will help them through this place in their life. If God can't help them, I can't. If God can't help you, who is? See, so God is going to help us in the difficulties that we face. And each of the situations, so it's beyond what I know, it's beyond my abilities, it's beyond what I can fathom. Okay, good. We've got to that place where we got to believe. And we believe that God will help us. God will take care of it. God will give us wisdom. God will give us strength. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, God's hands on our life. I mean, how many times, you know, I go back to the idea, how many times I should have been dead, you know? There's no way I should have lived this long. I should have never made it out of my teenage years at the farm. You know, I should have never made it. It was just, you know, so close so many times, you know? Right. Right. God. Yeah. We're complaining that, God, I got a red light and I'm in a hurry. I need to be there. Well, God may have just protected you. You know, I remember a child was killed in a car accident. And the mother said, why wasn't the light red just for 3 seconds longer? And my child would have lived. You know, because the person that hit them came through the light and the person swerved and went off the road and they were collided and their daughter was killed. And, you know, if it had only been a couple of seconds different, everything would have changed. But how many times has those seconds been exactly in our favor and we didn't realize it? And, you know, and if tragedy does happen, we consider it tragedy. But when we're safe in God's hands, nothing is ever tragic. We're going home. So it's all okay. So we have difficulties and we have tragedies, but but we believe there is a reason behind them. And we don't know the reason, and we'll never know the reason this side of eternity. But when that time gets here, we'll know. And until then, we just keep trusting. And that's how we live. Right. Right, yeah. Yeah, when the time comes, we go home and we go home. It's a good thing. We got a home to go to. We're never homeless. Amen. So take the strength of God and allow, God, I need your help here. So we're here to help. And in those times of places that we meet people, we're there to help. We don't want to be like the Boy Scout who gets across the street and his lady's beating her with his purse and so on, you know, and another person comes up and says, "Lady, why are you beating this poor Boy Scout for helping you across the street?" And she says, "I didn't want to go across the street. I wanted to go that way." So, you know, we're not going to get to that place or get beat up because we're dragging somebody where they don't want to go. You know, that's, you know. So anyhow, Father, thank you that you give us insight and understanding to your word. And God, we are so blessed to have your spirit and to have your blessing and favor upon us. So guide us as we serve you and guide your word in our hearts and make those applications to our hearts as only you can. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.